Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you that have been here in previous years, I've been hearing some complaints that we haven't been doing eye openers, and the only way that I can explain the absence of eye openers specifically is that the process by which that is done takes an evening in order to get ready for the morning before, to get ready for the morning. The night before is spent accumulating slides and music and literature, all kinds of stuff together. And then we try and get the morning off on a specific note. And the evenings this summer are being spent on the ceiling. And it really is my hope that an eye-opener can be your discovering along with me, because our eyes are probably opening about the same time, what went on the night before. This is the hour that we have been spending this summer on, specifically on Bible study. And this will probably be the one eye-opener that I'll give this summer, and I'd like for it to be really a Bible study. Works of art are not specifically exegetical. They don't analyze Scripture. I guess more than anything, if they have to do with Scripture at all, they analyze where an individual stands in relationship to the good news. But works of art, not only after they're done, but more specifically in their process, are part and parcel of a whole thing that has to do with community. And of course, more specifically in this place, that has to do with body of Christ, that it makes very good sense to discuss what is happening on the ceiling in relationship to a whole concept that has to do with our understanding of who we are together, how we shape one another, and how we are being shaped by one another in faith by Scripture's Lord. I don't want to explain too much to you. That is to say, I don't want to take away a whole possibility for the ceiling to become a creative process for you by explaining it to death, or by simply telling you that there is only one way in which you can understand it, because there isn't. There is, in fact, not even one way in which I understand it. A lot depends on the morning, maybe even more on the evening. If I have to push the scaffold myself, I understand the ceiling in a much different way than if I have four strong people helping me to push the scaffold. I mean by that the ceiling actually looks different to me when there is help in the making of the images. A work of art, and I have to continually refer to the context of the community. A work of art is at one and the same time an individual thing, a very specific, unique, personal thing, and an affirmation of community. That's a hard thing to understand, because I think most of us understand artists as being separate people. And in a sense, maybe it's the community that has allowed them to be separate. And we are finding in this place a community that is not allowing that to happen. I cannot imagine, in my wildest imaginings, a more special gift than the gift of a 95 by 55 foot wall on which to be what I am. I can't imagine any artist dreaming up a greater gift. But I can't imagine a 95 by 55 foot wall coming to an artist in any other way but by a gift. The Sistine ceiling was a gift to Michelangelo. I keep thinking of Al last night over and over again. The sun is a gift. That drab, ugly, rotten beaverboard ceiling was a gift. And it was a gift. It was a gift from community. Lord knows it was not a gift that I prayed to have. It was a gift that came to me, and as Al kept saying over and over last night, there was really nothing I could do about it. Absolutely nothing that I could do about it but respond. But the response is also not a unique thing in that it is only my response, that it is so personal that what you have up there is a singular vision. It isn't that at all. We have in art what we call the orientation of perception. As Carol has suggested to some of you, when any of us on the faculty start throwing things around like that, don't let us continue without pinning us down and explaining things like that. What does that mean? It just simply means that where we are and how we perceive, how we know what it is we see, is shaped by so many influences, by so many things which are not art, that what happens, in fact, when we respond to those things that shape our visions is really giving back in a new shape and in a new form the gifts that have been given to us. If we understand then the art as being a giving back to what has been given and with what has been given, we understand art in many ways, not all of it certainly, but I hope this art, as having some aspects of liturgy about it. That there is, in fact, versicle and response. That there is the setting up of a statement and then a responding to that statement. This ceiling, aside from its geographic location, could not be painted anywhere else. It is not possible for the same combination of colors, for the same little special motifs, for the same theology to be incorporated into a ceiling over anyone else's home, over anyone else's meeting place or place of worship. It is simply not possible. And thus what is spoken on the ceiling is spoken out of community, is spoken by community, and is then spoken back into community. There is then this constant circulation. And in fact, much of the ceiling is trying to depict that, if not community to community, certainly what the community is made of. You look at that, I call it cockamamie, and I don't know what specifically what that means, but we had a little Irish boy in art school when I was in the undergraduate school in St. Louis, and he always kept calling things cockamamie, and we didn't know what it meant, but we could agree with him because of what it was he was pointing to when he referred to it. And when I talk about the cockamamie ceiling, I am talking about, first of all, that thing in the middle. Now, can you talk? You understand the nature of gift, and you don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. But if you had your druthers, you know, wouldn't you just as soon have it plugged up, so we could continue some kind of nice color flow over the top of it? And yet, when you stop to think about what that hole is, if we can do something right with it, it's going to make all the difference to the ceiling. The hole leads up, and the hole leads down. It is like the neck of the bottle. There is something in the bottle down here, but on the other side of the bottle is everything. Absolutely everything. And the everything on the other side of the bottle goes past any information, any symbolism, any imagery, any color, any design motif we are able to define God with. It is not a Babel that we are building, because there is a hole in the middle that goes past any abilities that we have to conceptualize our relationship with our Heavenly Father. There is a much moreness out past through the other side of all of this. And if what we're able to conceive of is glory, then certainly what we are not able to conceive of is much more glorious. So, at one and the same time, we are painting what we can't conceive, and we are trying to define those limits in community. It's a sharing. Those of you that come in here and watch while I paint, and I see some of you here that do that rather frequently, and I also see some of you that come in here and don't watch while I paint because of one other aspect of the painting, and that is the music. Some of you come in and watch because the music is going on. Some of you come in and hear the music and then leave before you watch because of my taste in music, I think. I am a Bach freak, and not just, I mean, there's an awful lot of other stuff, but I also like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but Bach is so outweighs Emerson, Lake, and Palmer that if you come in here and happen to hear Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, you get the whole a totally wrong impression of what's making this thing move up there. But it isn't possible for me to paint without it, for me to make any kind of an image up there without music. So there is the sound, and there is also the theology. The theology isn't really that personal either. The theology is an accumulation of things that came from my father, who was a Lutheran pastor, from my mother, who was a Latin teacher. From Carol, who is, I can't even, I, yeah, that. From listening to matins in the morning when I'm able to get up, and listening to all kinds of people, people totally unprepared to give any kind of witness except that they can't help it. And just stand there and talk to us about the hope that's in them. And Vespers. And any waking moment of the day when people walk past themselves, past one another, and share with us special faith moments. And all of that theology becomes part of me, becomes part of all of us, and winds up getting plastered on the ceiling. When Carol says, we have to do something with the ceiling, the first thing that came into my mind was not a great big Easter, Christ looking, you know, the feet, the soles of his feet. It'd be a tremendous, the horse's mouth relived. The bottom of Christ going up through that great thing, you know, through that navel, going to prepare another place for us, even better than Holden, you know. It wasn't that. It was really more of an affirmation of where we were, of what he had given us here. And the best way that I could accumulate that would have been in the seasons, which is a very presumptuous thing to do. Painting four seasons on one ceiling. Except it is not possible at this place to paint only one, because all four of them are here simultaneously. With snow on the mountains and heat in the valley, with every Sunday and Easter, except next one, which is a Christmas. So there is this constant shifting, rebirthing, affirmation, little babies, tiny, tiny babies, old, old people, all together, whole family, constant cycle, constant change. In fact, the whole community is such a celebration to change that I just hurt so hard for the people that can't. That's probably the most anguishing part of this place. People not being able to change because of what they're afraid of. And if somehow then the ceiling celebrates change, if it somehow impresses on us the fact that it's going to change and it is changing indeed without our assistance, then maybe we might be less afraid. And so there is full wheat in the summer. There are shoots in the spring. There are fetuses in the winter, all the way down to the egg. The egg with its beautiful shell, probably the most perfect package ever designed, but totally worthless unless it's cracked. Totally worthless unless it gets busted. And thus it becomes the symbol for us all. And for Holden, the egg is red, and on fire, because from the womb and baptism we have all become charismatic. We all have our special gifts. We all share them with one another. So, we sing, we dance, we paint, we teach, we learn, we cry and laugh, we study, we make colossal error, and sometimes we make them 95 feet long and 55 feet wide. And the error is new every morning. And comes over the village's forgiveness. You talk about seasons. The thing you want to do probably is show slides of seasons. You know, and it's easy. At Holden, showing slides of seasons is so easy, it's almost obscene. You're in summer. You have your summer here, so there is no need to show you summer slides. And I don't want to make this a slideshow anyway. But you have to know, while you are here now, that there was a spring, and the hummingbirds attacked the villagers as well as the planters. And before that spring, there was a winter. It was an incredible winter. But you know about winters. You know what winters look like, what they feel like. And before the winter, there was fall. And it was outrageous. And before the fall, there was another summer. At any given moment, we celebrate change, the acknowledgement of continuity, and with the continuity, constant change. There is also something else. People. And it really doesn't make sense to talk about seasons without talking about people. Thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Descendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He calls
causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge. Gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. And thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Job said, I have kept his way. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand I seek him, but I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured in my bosom the words of his mouth, but he is unchangeable, and who can turn him? What he desires, that he does, for he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind.
And St. Patrick said, I bind unto myself this day the glory of the Trinity. I humbly praise the awful name, the three in one, the one in three. Christ, be near me. Christ, within me. Christ, be ever before me. Christ, beside me. Christ, above me. Christ, be with me this day. Christ, in safety. Christ, in danger. Christ, beside each friend and stranger. I bind unto myself this day the stable earth, the deep salt sea, the sweet pale moon, the sun's bright rays, the whirling winds, the lightning free. Christ in safety. Christ in danger. Christ beside each friend and stranger. Christ upholding all that love me. Christ be with me this day.
Thank you.
Have a good day.